Okay, Acts, the 12th chapter. No better book in the Bible than the only book that has not been finished. Amen, because Acts means the Acts of Jesus Christ. As it's titled sometime in your Bible, the Acts of the Apostles, but when you look at the Scripture, it says the Acts of Jesus Christ. And that's actually what it is the Acts of Jesus Christ in the church. And you know what? God is still moving in the church. Amen. That's why the book isn't finished, because he's been adding to the church the book of Acts for 2,000 years. And you and I are in that book now. We're part of that book. Thank God we've been born again of the water and the Spirit. Amen. Baptized in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, and moving on for his glory. Acts, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 1. It's a little in lengthy passage, but I'll read fast here, and I just want you to be settled on this setting that we're in. So many times, I hear preachers say, you know about that situation in the Bible, you know about that character, you know what they went through. Well, there's a lot of people don't read the Bible, and they don't know what you're talking about. So we need you to know that we're basing this upon the Scripture. We need to preach from the Word. We need to live from the Word. God has given us no greater examples than the Word of God. Amen. Now, about that time, Herod, verse 1 of the 12th chapter, the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. He was ready to cut his head off too. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer, everybody said, but prayer, was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not, this was Peter, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was still dreaming. He didn't think this was really happening. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. They had automatic doors. Was first found in the book of Acts. Amen. And the door opener was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come up to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And remember, they were praying for him because he was in prison. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. She must have been a blonde-headed Jew. Amen. When she saw Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she consistently affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. Amen. They still weren't believing. They were not expecting the unexpected. Amen. But it was happening anyway. I want to tell you something. God's been blessing this church. And I believe that you are enjoying the blessings of God that are being bestowed upon you. Amen. We are. But it didn't just happen overnight. Amen. Thank God that it was passed down to us through a lineage of people that were faithful in living for God. And we need to not forget those that come before us and the pathway that they opened up for us to enjoy. And understand that the landmarks that they put there were put there for a reason. Don't throw things away that you don't know why they're there in the first place. Amen. You need to value what is established, and you need to take care of it, because it's the thing that brought you out of the world and made a new creature out of you is the same thing that's going to take you into heaven. So you better hold on to what God has given you. Amen. Not just in emotion, not just in feeling, but in the word of the Lord. Amen. And on how to live. God, thank you for what you've done for me. Let's thank the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, in thy precious name, I thank you, God, for the beauty of the Holy Ghost that's in this place today. We thank you, God, for your people that are assembled together here in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you would move on our hearts and help us today to receive, Lord, what you have already prepared for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let's give the Lord a hand praise as we do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to see this sanctuary filling up. And if the children are in here, there would be hardly any room at all. And I'm thankful for that. When we first came to this building in 1980, we were renters. And we rented this building for 32 years. And then God worked a miracle and it became ours for such a nominal amount. It's almost, I'm glad they didn't try to get somebody to come in here and estimate what the value of this was, because we got it very, very, very cheap. That's what it was. But it was because of our faithfulness. All the time that we were faithful every month for all those years, we paid the rent, we took care of the building. I remember when we first came here, when we looked at it, it didn't look too good. Ron Jackson's dad found this building, and it was an old secondhand store that was in here, and it had closed down, and there was some ugly paint on the outside. It was the eyesore of this corner. When we came in here, we found out what paint does. That's the first thing we did. We painted, and all we had was from this wall forward. That's all there was. There was another partition here, and we had a small sanctuary sitting out right in the middle area there. Had a place in the back behind the platform where we had a baptistry that had been made out of plywood that we never could get stopped leaking, Brother Isley. Amen. But we'd fill it up anyway. Hallelujah. And baptize people right there. Amen. God's been good to us. He's brought us a long ways. And we're thankful for all that he has done. We really are. But, you know, and we keep asking him for revival. We keep asking him for a great move. We keep asking him for the supernatural to happen amongst us. We need to understand that it's right to do that, and it's right to petition the Lord. But we need to know that God has promised us those things for many years right here at Revival Tabernacle. And I've come to tell you, not just as by myself alone, but as other elders have come and preached for you, other great men of God have come and preached for you, they have recognized that this church is not seeking revival. This church is not seeking revival. No, the reason we're not seeking revival is because we have revival. Amen. We have revival. God is blessing us with revival. And the ones that need to wake up to that fact more than anybody else is ourselves. Because there's a whole lot more in revival than just shouting and dancing and running the aisles. Amen. There's a supernatural work of God that needs to be manifest amongst us. Hallelujah. I believe we need to see the supernatural happening right in our midst. Hallelujah. We need to know the power of God in healing. Amen. We need to know when you got the Holy Ghost and you spoke in other tongues and the elation of God's presence in your life, how good that it felt. But I want you to know the same time he purchased that salvation for you, he purchased your healing with his blood. Hallelujah. And we need to know, hallelujah, that healing is ours just as much as salvation is by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's thank him, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I've been made more in the last few years, more appreciative of what has been given to us. And a lot of memories have come back to me. In fact, I attended church with a family that was going to the church. In fact, she still plays the organ on Sunday mornings at the Revival Center, Sister Nancy Holston. And I begin to think in my mind, I knew something about her husband, and I had never met him before. And so I got to meet him, and he was such a fine gentleman, a great Christian. He's battling what some of you are with that dialysis, and it is taking him down quicker than perhaps he would like it to, but he's faithful to the house of God. His wife is the daughter of Brother Jimmy and Sister Bobby Shoemake, and so she is quite talented and such a blessing to the church, and we're thankful for that. But as I got to talking to him, I said, you know, I knew your granddad. And I said, in fact, I haven't found it yet because we packed it away when we moved to Turlock there by Modesto, and I haven't found everything that we packed away. I don't know what Brother Rupert did with it, but one of these days, and Brother Manuel, they packed a lot of things together for us, and I haven't got through all of it yet. But I said, I have a picture of me standing by the foundation corner of the church in Kerman, and I'm standing there with your granddad. Because your granddad was the one that gave us that property that we could build the church on. And in fact, in 1950, before we had the church built, past all the nice new houses around the church now, we had to walk a ways about a quarter of a mile to get to town. And there was a farmhouse just before we got there. And that's where your grandfather lived. And he had a garage that set over the side out close to Kearney Boulevard there. And until we could find another place to have church, they opened up the front of the garage and extended it with canvas and put sawdust floors in there. And that's where we began to have church, in a sawdust floor, amen. That was 1950. And while we were having church there, and I remember that, man, it was exciting to me, just 3.5 years old, 4 years old, we're going to church and there's sawdust on the floor, and you can sit with outside on the edge of the pews. They were old wooden pews, but we had a place to sit anyway, and to have church. I thought it was a great thing having church almost outside all the time. And during that winter, my brother was born. He was born. His first church that he ever went to was a sawdust floor church. Amen. And, you know, it might not have looked like much on the outside, but it was the beginning of a lot of things. Amen. And thank God for Brother Luke Hodge that gave us that opportunity to have church there, and later the property to build the church on. And today there's a beautiful facility there. And in fact, that was where your pastor was for 10 years before he came here. Pastor Hill pastors there. And God has just done marvelous things. But that's part of my heritage. That's part of what brought me. If it wasn't for that little country church. Amen. I remember getting off the bus at high school, and there was another friend that I had that the bus would come by, pass me up after I got the bus off going to the next bus stop. Remember those old push button windows you slide down on the school buses? I don't know if they're still that way or not, but they were then. I'd see him. I'd try to get away from him because I knew what he was going to do. He was going to bug me again because he'd slide that window down and he'd say, "Hey, Rick, you want to go to the church and pray with me today?" I said, "You know, I got a lot of homework. I don't think I'm going to be able to go." I was a typical 13-year-old teenager and wasn't quite ready to get as serious as I needed to be about living for God. But you know what? He never gave up. Of course, that was Brother Nate Wilson. And pretty soon, I was joining him because we ended up having, I couldn't get away from him. We ended up having Spanish class together for 2 years and then geometry together. And so we did our homework together. That eliminated that excuse. So we went, the first thing we did after school was walk to the church and we was practice our Spanish going down to church. And I need some more practice still, but we would do that. And when we got to the church, we would pray we'd probably pray at least an hour. And after you pray a while and you learn how to pray, it's not hard to keep on praying. And it's a blessing. I know some people, they say pray an hour. They can't imagine praying an hour and looking at their watch every 5 minutes. I'll tell you that makes it go so slow. Just get lost in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Get lost in His presence. Hallelujah. And time shall be no more in His presence. God is an eternal God. He is not restricted by time. And I found out at a very young age, when you get a hold of the Lord, time passes real fast. Amen. I remember when people used to get slain in the Spirit, and I've experienced it myself, and be out slain in the Spirit, worshiping the Lord, loving God, and come 2, 3, or 4 hours later. Amen. That's how real this is. Hallelujah. I mean, you can get in touch with God and you can walk in the Spirit, and those things we need to see even more now. I know it seems like, and we're very conscious of time because our kids got to go to school and we want them to get enough rest and all of that. I don't know what happened back when I was a boy. They didn't think about us going to school. They really didn't. We would go to church, and every night there was church. When we had a revival, it wasn't a Wednesday night and the Sundays and maybe a Saturday. No, when we had revival, it was Monday through Sunday. 7 days a week. And we usually didn't get home till at least 11 o'clock, even on a school night. And it never hurt me. Amen. I made it. I graduated, praise the Lord, and I had a good grade point average, a very good grade point average. But you know what? When we didn't know that we're supposed to get more rest, and we had church first, God took care of that. He rested us. And I didn't go to sleep on the pew either. Amen. And I look back at how all that happened and fell in place, and those good revivals that we had, and the power of God moving, and those prayer meetings I had after school. It was in one of those prayer meetings that God talked to me at 14 years old and let me know that He wanted me to be active in the ministry of this gospel. I tried to shrug it off. I tried to get rid of it and say, no, God, You don't want me to be a preacher. I could never get up and stand in front of people. I couldn't do that. But God had different plans altogether. Amen. And so as we continue to live for God, God equips you for the position in life that you're at when you get there. Amen. When you walk with Him, you don't have to be afraid about what you're going to face. Because when you get to what's going to be facing you, you've got Him there with you, and He already is the answer. Amen. He's already the one that has the victory for you. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God for that victory that we have. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was the first scripture text that I use when I come to pastor this church over on Dalporto Lane, I think it was called then. That was quite a church. There's a few of you here that know about that, Sister Barbara, Sister Ruthie, Brother Ron Jackson, he knew about it. Amen. I don't know if there's any more here that knew about that. Some in times past, Sister Christina probably remembers it, but it was not a very nice building. But you know what? We had the power of God in that place. God would come, great revivals would happen there, and we'd enjoy the presence of the Lord, and then He gave us this building. I remember we opened this up, the first service that we had 13 people. That's all we had when we came here. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, faithfulness counts. Thank God for faithful people that stick in here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for people that love the Word of the Lord. Thank God for Bible studies that come. Hallelujah. And praying people through to the Holy Ghost and baptisms that we had. God just blessed us mightily. And I thank the Lord that He's still doing it today. He hasn't brought us through all this to bring us to this point, to just be what we've always been. But God wants us to be what He has His church to focus to be in this last day before He comes. We're going to have to be expecting Him to come. Did you hear me? We're going to have to be expecting Him to come. Can you imagine? Can you imagine in your heart and mind exactly what this service would be like if you knew the Lord was going to come by the time that we gave the altar call this morning? There would be such an expectancy and such a reaching out and such a getting a hold of God. Hallelujah. It would be so easy to do when we expected, hallelujah, the unexpected. I believe we need to expect that today, because it very well could happen. The Lord could come at any hour. He could come at any moment. Hallelujah. And we're going to be caught up away with Him in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. We're going to be caught up with the Lord in the air. Let's give Him praise right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, God blesses us with such a great heritage. And I talked to Brother Holston, and then I talked to his son Jordan. His son Jordan is a pretty tall young man. In fact, he reminds me of his grandfather, Brother Jimmy Shoemake, only he's redheaded. He does play the bass like his grandfather did when he was that age. a young man in his 20s, and I told him, I said, I remember your grandfather playing that bass in our revival services. When he come to preach us revival, he wasn't married yet to your grandmother, but he would carry, probably wouldn't have room for her because that bass fiddle took up all that back seat. They didn't have electric basses then. There was not such a thing. They didn't have keyboards then. It was the bass and guitars and an accordion. That's what they had back in those days. But we made music and worshiped God, singing the songs, some of them that we sang this morning, and got in touch with the Lord. That's what it's all about. Amen. So I told Jordan, I said, I remembered that. And he said, you know what, Brother Kesey, says, I have that bass fiddle at home. He said, I have it at home. It's still mine. My granddad gave it to me and wanted me to keep it as part of my legacy. And I thought, you know, that bass fiddle has seen a lot of meetings. It's seen a lot of people get the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's part of his legacy that was passed down. But it's more important than just an instrument, more important than just something to worship God with. God gave us the truth. God gave us something that is real. Hallelujah. I thank God that He gave us something that when we go to church, it's not just a formal situation. Amen. No, we don't come to church just to play church. We don't come to church to be ritualistic in our practice. We come to church to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We come to church, hallelujah, and we're going to have an expectancy that we've never had before. When we come to the house of God, we want to see things happen. I want to see legs straightened out. I want to see the crippled made to walk again. I want to see the blind be able to be seen. How to be able to see like they have not seen. I believe the Lord can still do that in Jesus' name. Let's praise Him again right now. Hallelujah. God, we thank You today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I go to church now and we begin to worship the Lord down just a couple of pews ahead of where I'm sitting, there's a young man that they bring in every service. Somebody walks him in and sets him down there because he's blind. Brother Wesley. And I've made it a point that every service I go and shake his hand. And so now when I say praise the Lord, Brother Wesley, he says, praise the Lord, Brother Keys, how you doing? He knows me by voice. And I said, you know, I admire you for being so faithful to the house of the Lord. I said, were you always blind? He said, no. He said, I wasn't. They had to do operation on my right eye. And when they did, they messed something up with my left eye. And it left me about 2 years ago, it left me blind. And, I thought, you know, I said, Brother Wesley, I don't know. You know, God, you're a special person to God. Amen. For you to be faithful to God and come to the house of God and worship Him like you do. I said, if that happened to me, they'd probably just have to put me under. Amen. I don't know if I can handle that or not. God knows. He'll never put more on you than you can bear. And He uses different people that are capable of handling different things to be a testimony for Him. That's right. So wherever you're at, you don't compare yourself to somebody else. God may be making a testimony for you. You know, if there were never any afflicted people, God could never heal anybody. Amen. He could never heal anybody. I've joined together with Brother Wesley, and we're believing that before it's over with, God is going to give him sight back again. I believe I'm going to see that. I go to church and we have altar service. I always pray with him because I believe God can heal him. I believe we're going to see blind eyes open. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to see the lame walk again. We're going to see the supernatural things of God. Hallelujah. And you know why I believe it? Because the Bible says these signs follow them that believe. Hallelujah. And I believe the Lord. I'm not here because of signs and wonders, but I'm here because of Jesus. And when I walk close enough with Him, I can expect the unexpected to happen right in our midst. Hallelujah. God is going to do it for His glory. Praise the Lord. There is no greater advertisement you're going to have for Revival Tabernacle than to have the supernatural power of God moving in our midst. And we have a right to expect it because we have a heritage. We have a legacy that goes clear back to the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I want to tell you something. There was a whole lot more that came on that day of Pentecost than just the time that they were going to speak in tongues. It came as a package deal. Hallelujah. God brought the truth to the church. He brought a church that was established that would be able to have the supernatural working in it. I believe we need to enjoy the whole package that God purposed. And the whole package that he initiated in the very beginning. That this legacy is ours. It's not going to be for somebody coming after us. It's ours. It's for today. Hallelujah. God wants us to enjoy what he's done for him, for us in all of its fullness and glory. Oh, let's give the Lord a hand praise again right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You very seldom see me do this when I was here, but it ain't like it used to be. It just isn't. You know, not everybody has the privilege of getting old. Amen. But God's blessed me. That's a privilege. I think sometimes. I remember when I'd be down here teaching on Sunday morning 20, 25 years ago. And I'd be teaching away and I'd say something about being old. And Sister Barbara would always shake her head. And she'd say, Brother Keys, you're not old. You know what, Sister Barbara, you were right. Because I found out what old is now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? It's a challenge. It is. Hallelujah. To wake up in the morning and be able to put both feet on the floor and know this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I have something to be glad about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You know, Pastor Johnson just got back from a trip. He preached some of the general conference over in Italy. And then his wife joined him and his daughters, and they went on a trip throughout part of Europe and Italy there. And that part of the place they went to was Rome. And he brought back some pictures of Rome. One of the things he brought back was a picture of the prison or the cell or what dungeon that the Apostle Paul supposedly was in. And it was not a very pretty thing. It was just a hole dug out in the ground that he was thrown down into. And it didn't have all the nice modern things that some of you have enjoyed when you were incarcerated. Amen. It wasn't anything like that. That would be like the Hilton. Amen. Where you stayed compared to where the Apostle Paul stayed. I mean, you'd share it with rats and mice and everything else, and anybody that walked by would throw down some of their garbage and that'd be part of what you ate. But you know, the reason that dungeon is so special to me is part of the epistles of the New Testament are what we call the prison epistles that were written by the Apostle Paul. Amen. He wrote them, and he may not have penned them himself. It looks that perhaps he actually dictated some of them for somebody else to print out for him or write out for him. But I look at the book of Philippians, and it's a book of encouragement. And encouraging yourself in the Lord. And he starts out talking about rejoicing. Can you imagine being in a dungeon like he was in and talk about rejoicing? And after he talked about rejoicing, he would say, again, I say, rejoice! Praise the Lord. And if you look that word rejoice up, it means leaping for joy. Amen. Paul, I know you couldn't get out, but you probably saw how close you could get to the top. When you begin to rejoice in the Lord, you didn't just sit there. You gave it everything that you have. I believe that we today, we're not in such a horrible situation as he was. And I believe that we today have a right to rejoice, and we don't have anything big enough to keep us from being the rejoicing person that God wants us to be. Amen. We need to rejoice daily. We need to rejoice when we get up. We need to rejoice when we go to work. We need to rejoice when we're with our families. Hallelujah. You may wonder how is your family going to be saved? They're not going to be saved by you taking the Bible and beating them across the head with it. Amen. But they're going to be saved because when you're with them, you're going to have a spirit and attitude of rejoicing. You're going to be a person that is full of joy. Full of joy. Hallelujah. That God has done, because that's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Spirit. Amen. You're going to have that joy in you and utilizing it again and again. You know, I look at this 12th chapter of the book of Acts, and I'm not going to get to do very much in there today, but just looking at that context of Scripture, I can see that there is something we need to note particularly. And the Bible lets us understand that, here Peter was set out of prison, the angel come and opened the door for him. The church was down at John Mark's mother's house praying, and thank God for the church that was praying. Amen. And so Peter couldn't even believe what was happening to him himself. So it wasn't really Peter that caused it to happen. He didn't cause the miracle to happen. Amen. And then when you get down to the house where Peter down to the house, he walked down there on his own accord after the angel had led him out to the city. When he got to the gate, they kept on praying. They were still praying. It was already done. What were they praying for? Amen. The miracle had already happened. And here they were still struggling and praying. They told Rhoda, "You're crazy. You didn't hear Peter out there. Peter's in jail." Amen. They're gonna cut his head off just like they did James. And, she said, "No, I know it was him. I heard his voice. I know it's him." And they told her she was gone mad. I want to tell you something. There's too many times that we're still praying for revival. We're still praying for things to happen in our families. We're still praying, hallelujah, for a great supernatural move of God in our midst. You know what? It's good that we pray, and we need to pray. But I'm here to proclaim to Revival Tabernacle this morning. I believe we've prayed enough. Amen. I said, I believe we've prayed enough for revival. I'm not telling you to stop praying, because that's our relationship with God. But I'm here to tell you, it's time that we start thanking God for revival that we have. It's time that we start opening the gate. It's time that we start partaking of what He has already done. Hallelujah. By His stripes, we were healed. That is past tense. Praise the Lord. I'm here to tell you, we can't understand that God has done so much for us already. The legacy that He's given us. Oh, the power of God that's in this place right now. I love the Lord today. Let's love Him again right now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. It's so good to stand here and be able to preach. Amen. I was the first one to preach in this pulpit. Hallelujah. Amen. And the man that built this pulpit, I go to church with now. Hallelujah, Brother Jeremiah Williams. But I want you to know, it's just good wherever I look in a congregation where I go to church. They probably had about 400 there this morning, and you'll be there before long. Amen. I said, you'll be there before long. It's not going to happen. It's already begun to happen. This isn't going to be the biggest church. This is the beginning of the biggest church in Santa Maria. Amen. Hallelujah. God has moved in such a mighty way already. He has affirmed to me. Hallelujah. He didn't send me a Rhoda that I didn't have to believe, but He sent me the Word of God to see that Peter couldn't believe it. So it wasn't because of his belief that it happened. It wasn't because of his faith that the change fell off of him. It wasn't because of the prayers of the people, because they didn't believe their prayers were doing a miracle. Amen. They're doing what they thought they should do, and that was good. But I want to tell you something. The miracles that are going to happen are going to happen by you. They're not going to happen by me. They're going to happen by Jesus Christ that has already paid the price. Hallelujah. He's already paid the price. There's not any more that He's going to do. By His stripes, we were healed. You're not going to put any more stripes on His back. Amen. You're not going to put another crown of thorns upon His head, because He's already been there. Amen. He's already been there. He's already done that. Hallelujah. He's already given us revival, and we're going to enjoy the revival that God has for us right now. Hallelujah. It has come on down through the years. And friend, I want to tell you something. We are here. We are here. Say it with me. We are here. Stand with me today, and let's praise Him right now. God, I love You today. I praise You, God. Hallelujah, Lord, for Your greatness, God, for Your Spirit that I feel right here this morning, God. Thank You for every soul that is here. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Again, I want to say I'm thankful for you. I want to say I'm thankful for those that's gone before us. I don't go through a day without remembering Sister Tonya and her faithfulness to the house of God. I don't go through a day not thinking about Brother Wilkes and his faithfulness to a house of God. And those others that have gone on. Brother Oosley, he's still here with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're enjoying him being with us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the faithful ones. Thank God for the faithful ones. There's nothing like faithfulness. Amen. My dad was not a preacher, but I want to tell you there was not any man that I have known in my life that was more faithful than he was. And because of that, God has used his life to be a blessing to this globally, to this world. Through his testimony, and he had no idea the impact that his life was making. You have no idea the impact that your life is making right now. Amen. On those that are around you, they're watching you. They're watching you. Hallelujah. Brother Jesse right here, I watched him this morning while we were worshiping the Lord. Amen. I wasn't sure I knew this rather large young man that was here with a beard and a ponytail. Amen. I didn't, and then it dawned on me who he is sitting by. I said, that can't be. I asked Pastor Panero and he told me, yes, I'm so thankful about what God is doing. I said, I'm so thankful about what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so exciting to see his work still happening amongst us. And we still have the fire here, Brother Jesse. Amen. Amen. That's an inside joke, by the way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is amazing to us. Praise the Lord. He really is. And we want him to do some great things right here this morning. I don't know what you come to church needing today, but I'm here to tell you, amen, it's not something that has to be done for you. It's already done. It's just a matter of you receiving what the Lord has done. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it recorded in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared, past tense, for them that love him. I'm here to tell you it's time to come and slip our feet under the master's table this morning. It's time to begin to come and dine what he has already made available to us. Amen. And let him bless us with what he really wants to bless us with. Amen. When we suddenly open up and when you get the Holy Ghost or you let him bless you again, you think, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long? I want to tell you, there's some things here today that God wants to do that when he does it, you're going to say the same thing. Why did I wait so long? Hallelujah. It's time to let God move today. Hallelujah. As you bow your head and you close your eyes, I want to tell you something. Hallelujah. There's no way that I can impart to you all the prayers that have gone up for you from this altar. There's no way, hallelujah, I can let you understand just how much, even though that maybe you did not know the people of the Revival Tabernacle, you might not know them all now. I don't know you all. And that's such a good feeling. Amen. To have new ones coming into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you something, hallelujah. They may not have known you, but they have prayed for you. They may not know you, and they may not know your last name. They may not know where you live, but they've been praying for you a long time. Because God promises, he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. And we know that there is a city full of people that are hungry for God, hungry for righteousness. You might say, how are you so sure? Because Jesus said, behold, say not in 4 months, then comes the harvest. Behold, the fields are white and ready to harvest. God has the field ready to harvest right now, and you can be part of that harvest field today because God's already done what he needs to do for you to have a new life. He's already done what he needs to do for you to have a sense of expectancy that you never had before, and you can expect the unexpected to happen. Hallelujah. I'm expecting it. Amen. We talked some about my son today. I thank God that God is moving in his life. And some of the things that happened, he wasn't expecting to happen. I wasn't expecting to happen. It gave us quite a surprise and a shock. But I want to tell you something. I believe God is doing all this to reach down into his heart, just like he's reaching down into your family, just like he's reaching down in your life today. God sets things in order, amen, so it can happen for you. He loves you today, and he wants to bless you here this morning. I'm going to open these altars, and if you need the Holy Ghost, you need to be here right quick. Amen. If you need something from God, you need to come here today. And you might say, well, I didn't come expecting anything today. Well, it's time that you start expecting the unexpected. Amen. The door is going to open for you. Amen. Somebody's going to open the gate, and you're going to get to join with them that's been praying. Amen. You're going to be in touch with the church very shortly. Hallelujah. Because God is going to bless you to this day. Hallelujah. Open up your heart to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Open your heart up to God today. Hallelujah. Come readily expecting God to move on you in a great and mighty way this morning.
Lift our voices, our hands. Let's talk to him. Song says, falling in love with Jesus. Let's do that this morning. Bear one another's burdens in the Spirit.